Hey, it's Nikki, and I'm just dropping in before you listen to the next awesome episode to let you know that something that I've been working on for a long time is finally live. It's the Tasting Room, my virtual membership with actual wines. And if you've ever been listening to my podcast thinking, man, it'd be cool to actually sip with Nikki or some of the guests that I hear, then this is for you. I've created a community of wine lovers just like you who are interested in learning more, meeting people, tasting, and moving the needle from confused and overwhelmed to confident when it comes to enjoying wine and picking the right things. I've got it all mapped out at sipwithnikki.com/membership, and you can see everything that I have baked into this membership after years and years of teaching about wine and taking all of your feedback. The part I'm most excited about are the virtual tastings. I'll be shipping custom created tasting kits to your door, and then we will get on a call live and be tasting as a group, learning about wines from around the world. So visit sipwithnikki.com/membership, where all of the information is waiting for you. I'm so excited to have you join us as a founding member, and I'll see you in the tasting room. Now here's your episode.
It might not be our favorite thing, but this was made in a very specific place and it was brought home in your backpack, and that's awesome.
Yeah. So Lauren just looked up what the taste is like. It says, Petrovka is a bittersweet Czech herbal liqueur with a flavor profile frequently described as Christmas in a bottle.
Stop it! Oh, Dana, you win!
It delivers a warm, spicy, sweet taste dominated by clove and cinnamon.
Clove. Nice. Well,
that's what it was.
Well, hello there. It's Nikki Lamberti coming to you from the New Jersey Shore. I am once again back on the East Coast visiting with my family and once again said, hey guys, put on some microphones. You're going to be in the podcast. They're very used to it by now. But we had a special thing to celebrate. And the main reason that I am here in July is to celebrate the engagement of my nephew Aiden and his now fiance Lauren. And we're so excited, and we had a big family party. And then we recorded this a couple days after that when we were all down at the family beach house. And my nephew Aiden is a cadet at West Point, and he'll be graduating next year. And if you listen to the episode that we did almost exactly a year ago, so the end of July 2025, it was called Prost. It was Aiden sharing about his experience training with the German military. And he had brought back some German wine because Aunt Nikki trained him very well, as well as our side-by-side tasting of Jägermeister that he had brought from Germany next to Jägermeister from the U.S. And we had this whole conversation about the recipes being the same and not the same. It was a great episode. It was very well received. You all listened to that a lot. And then just around the holidays this past year, I published an episode in the first week of January called Chardonnay or Chardonnay. And we did a three-generation family tasting of Chardonnay and talked all about just the perceptions of Chardonnay and what it is and what it isn't. And that was also a great episode because you had my mom, Susan, joining, then my sisters and I, and then my nephew. So again, the multi-generational perspective. So we're sort of combining those two in this week's episode because Aiden just went back to Germany for a couple weeks through West Point, and again, did a stint with the German military, tanks and artillery and all this crazy stuff. But he also had the opportunity to do some weekend travel to some neighboring countries and was kind enough to bring back some beverages, knowing that we were going to be getting together and could record a tasting. So you'll hear again my mom, Susan, and my sister, Dana, and then my nephew, Aiden, and his fiance, Lauren, and of course, my other half, Michael, who you guys love to hear on the podcast. He was there too. And so you have a lot of different opinions weighing in on some German wine, some Czech wine, and a Czech liquor, and a great conversation as we are all very surprised tasting things that were new, even to me, as someone who's basically made a living out of tasting things from all over the world. There were some surprising new beverages for me, and we had a lot of fun. So here we go with Germany 2.0, our multi-generational tasting.
All right, so here we are, Long Beach Island, New Jersey, down at the Jersey Shore for Prost. I always say it wrong. What's the correct way to say it? Prost 2.0, yeah. Celebrating the return of young Aiden's second trip overseas. Mm-hmm. Welcome back. How was your trip?
It was fun.
Yeah?
A little bit different from the last time. Last time, if people didn't know, I was with the German Army and doing training with them. I was with a tank unit, and we were able to go down to their training areas and shoot some tanks, shoot some guns, drink a lot of beer, some wine, and a lot of Jägermeister as well.
Yeah.
But this
How does
time,
that even work? Shoot some tanks.
Shoot some tanks and then have beer.
Or it means like you got in tanks and shot the guns.
Oh, I didn't get to shoot the tanks. I just got to be near the tanks while they shot. It's too much, too much of a liability for me.
You didn't actually shoot tanks either.
No, I got to shoot machine guns, all right. Grenade launchers, stuff like that. That was fun.
That was the first trip.
Yeah.
Last year, almost exactly a year ago.
Okay.
So then you had the opportunity. Did you have to apply again to be selected to go back again?
So everybody at school has to do this training, mm-hmm. and you just put in preferences of where you want to go. And I just got lucky enough to get sent back to Germany.
Nice.
This time with an American unit and with an artillery unit. So got to be around some big cannons. only a few. Okay.
And tell them where you were.
Yeah, were you in the same exact place as the first time?
Complete opposite, actually. Last year I was in the northeast. Part of Germany now is in the southwest. So last year I was up by Cologne, and this year we were out by Nuremberg. So pretty much complete opposite side of the country, which was really cool.
But did you feel like you had a little more German vocabulary from the first time that you could use this time?
No.
No.
I mean, last year I just finished taking German, so it was still fresh in my mind, but this year I could get my way through a conversation, but it was definitely, I had to pause and think a lot more for this one, but it's still there.
Okay. And how long was the trip?
Just about 2.5 weeks.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so from what I understand, because you told me that you were going to bring home some fun things for us to do another tasting, you were not in Germany for the whole time. You got a little getaway, and we're going to be tasting a couple things from that trip. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah. So we got there at a downtime for the unit. So we were with the 1 Infantry Brigade, which is a paratrooper brigade, jumping out of airplanes, airborne unit. And specifically, I was with the 4319 Field Artillery Battalion. And they had just gotten off a rotation from Morocco at the time, doing training, practicing different things, being in a desert environment. And in both weekends, you got long weekends, and they were
so
like,
party.
Yeah, so they said, go party, go explore. You're getting paid to be in Europe, and you might as well have a little bit of fun. So that first weekend, we went out to Luxembourg, which was a weird one. That was not initially the plan, but when we got to Germany, we were told that there's a road march that we could do. And that road march, you can either sign up for 20 kilometers or 40 kilometers. 20 kilometers is about 12.5 miles, and then 40 is about 25 miles.
Nice conversion, sir. Nice.
Marathon. And when you do this march, you also got a ribbon that you can wear on your uniform. You know, when you see like those officers with all the crazy ribbons on their chest, you can earn that. And it was pretty much like a beer tent crawl because, like,
I was calling it a walkabout.
It was pretty much a walkabout, yeah. So, funny enough, when we got there, we rolled up, we were in sneakers, shorts, t-shirt, no backpack, no water. We didn't eat food beforehand. And we're standing there, we're looking around.
Great planning.
Yeah, great planning. Really looked ahead. And we're standing in line, and I'm looking around, and everybody's got hiking boots, hiking poles, like those water backpack things, big backpacks, like belts with all these different hiking things. And I look at my friends, I'm like, I think we vastly underestimated this. And in layman's terms, we pretty much raw dogged the entire thing. And every about 3 miles was a tent that served beer. And it was about 85 degrees, humid, walking up and down mountains. And we walked up the mountain, beer tent up there, drank like 3 beers with no water, no food.
You're not in a uniform at this point.
No,
you're
not
just
in
plain clothes.
No,
like
pretty much, yeah. Uh-huh. And we had no food. So when you're dehydrated and hungry, free beers, especially European beers, they get you right, especially. And you get a little buzz, and then we walk around and see beautiful Luxembourg mountains.
Women? Oh, mountains.
No,
nope,
not women.
Sorry, Lauren. I thought he was going somewhere else.
Mountains and scenery. And then you would get to the next tent after you start to sober up, and then rinse and repeat. And it ended up being about 13 and a half miles, but
wow,
it was fun. And then we went back to our little Airbnb and then went out in Luxembourg City. So
okay,
that was weekend one.
Okay.
Weekend two, we decided we're not going to do something like that again. And we went out to Prague. And anybody has a band and want to go to Europe, go to Prague. Prague is awesome. Especially, I mean, obviously, if you're a 22-year-old, you might have a little bit different experience than someone that's in their 50s. But even then,
wonder who could be talking
like
to
him.
Why is he pointing at you, Michael?
<I don't know. laughs>
But even then, it's beautiful. They have a crazy nightlife there, but it's also like some of the most beautiful architecture. It's crazy. Every few blocks, like you walk past this cathedral and you look at it, and it's like made in 1250.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay,
yeah,
like that's crazy.
Yeah.
And then you walk down the block, and then there's another building. It's like, oh, this was made in 300, and this one bridge has been around for 2,000 years, and you're walking around a block, and on the corner of a building is like some crazy statue, and the architecture's awesome there. And then they just also have just really good restaurants. Like, mm-hmm, it is a bit of a tourist city. Like, mm-hmm, you probably can get caught in those tourist traps, but it's also just beautiful in its own right.
So cool that you had the opportunity to play a little and explore.
Yeah,
from your Germany home base to go to Prague. Yeah. So when you were walking around Prague, you were like, I need to find some beverages for Aunt Nikki's podcast to bring home. How did this happen?
We were walking back to the car. I'm like, I didn't get anything. And I saw one little shop and I walked in and got the two bottles from the Czech Republic that we have here. And then we got on the road, drove back. And it's
awesome.
Crazy because from our base, it's only 5.5 hour drive.
Mm-hmm. And you're in a different country.
And you're in a different country.
Yeah.
You drove across the country into another country.
We could drive 5.5 hours in California and still be in California.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
And then to Prague was just about 2 hours, which is my drive to school.
Yeah.
Which is another country as well.
Okay, very cool. All right, so we're going to taste these three awesome things that you brought back. The first one is a white wine from the Czech Republic, and then we're going to taste a red wine from Germany, and then a liquor from
Czech Republic.
So we're doing a Czech sandwich, basically. Mm-hmm. Since everyone's going to be tasting and weighing in, what would be helpful for our listeners is just, we'll go around, and we did this last time in the Chardonnay tasting, so people know whose voice is who. Just say your name and your relation to our focal point here, Aiden, starting with the young lady sitting to his right.
Hi, I'm Lauren. I'm Aiden's fiance.
Oh, because that's an upgrade from the last time we did this. Congratulations, you guys.
Thank you.
Getting married on June 12th, 2027. Yeah. So we're celebrating. Ma'am.
I am Dana, the mother of Aiden, but the sister of the boss of talking, Nikki.
And you're also the mug, the mother of the groom.
Of the groom.
Okay. And seated next to you is the gog. Hi, ma'am.
Hi. I'm Susan. I'm the grandmother of the groom and the mother of the boss of talk.
Mother of boss of talking. M-O-B-O-T. You're the Mobot. And you all know my voice plenty. 108 episodes worth of me. So another voice that might be familiar to our listeners. Thanks for joining us today, sir.
My name is Michael.
Yes.
And I am...
What are you to Aiden, actually?
I am Nikki's boyfriend.
Uh-huh. You're spice.
He's the boyfriend of the boss of talking. He's the Bobot. And really, organically, has become pretty much a co-host of the Sip with Nikki podcast. So thanks for joining us.
You're welcome.
Someone want to pour this beautiful white wine into these glasses?
So white, is it?
All right, let's talk about the color. What do you see?
It's kind of rusty color. I would like to give it the color of like a light beer.
Can you read this label for us?
No, I knew you were going to see that. Vino Chabluka. Chabluka. It just says Sauvignon on the bottom.
Aiden, would you like to read it?
I don't know how to speed it.
It's German.
You're the one that can read
it's
all
not German.
It's not German.
It's
Czech. Czech.
Oh, I'm
it's
sorry.
It's Czech.
I'm sorry.
Chabluka.
Yeah.
Not Chewbacca.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's Sauvignon?
It's Sauvignon Blanc. Yeah.
Sauvignon Blanc. Yeah. It's not too blanc.
So in preparation for this, I scanned all three of these beverages into the Somo app, which you guys know I'm a big fan of. And this way I didn't have to be pulling up multiple different websites and Googling maps and all the things that I was doing the first time we did this tasting, because this app actually has it all in one. So Vino Chibuco Sauvignon, it is a Sauvignon Blanc. And here's a little bit about the wine. This is out of the Somo app. This is a semi-dry Sauvignon Blanc from the Moravia region of the Czech Republic. It offers a slightly sweeter profile than bone-dry Sauvignon Blancs, which might appeal to your appreciation for aromatic whites like the La Serena Moscato Azul. So this is actually referencing something I've tasted before, because the app knows what I've tasted. Thanks, AI. Aiden, why did you pick this one off the shelf?
I'm gonna be so honest. It's because it had a Czech flag on it, and I knew then that's Czech wine.
Perfect,
that's
great.
That's pretty much the only reason why I picked it.
Do you know how many wines I've probably tasted in my lifetime?
I'm not even gonna try and guess. I know.
I don't know. Hundreds, thousands. Do you know that this is the first time I'm ever tasting a wine from this country? So thank you for bringing this. Cheers.
Cheers.
What does everybody smell?
Mom says flowers.
Mom says flowers. Susan, what color are those flowers?
White
flowers.
It's almost like a little acidic to me.
Yes!
Oh, yes. Edelweiss. Edelweiss.
Wrong country.
Michael, what do you smell?
Almost like peach.
I was going to say, it's almost apricot. A little like fruity and a little acidic to me.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, my eyes kind of water a little bit from it because it's.
Okay. Let's taste it and let's see if it tastes like it smells. It's like many different things at once,
yeah,
which is
say,
why
I can't really pick out.
Taking
one
me
thing.
A minute, yeah. It's not, sweet but bitter.
Yeah, yeah, I got a lot more bitter on the side of my tongue,
which is nice because there is a little bit of sweetness. And if it just finished with that one note of sweetness, it'd be like, bah. But then the bitterness came in on the back end for me, and it was kind of like, oh, that's
I feel
interesting.
Like you taste it on your whole tongue.
Ooh,
like
nice.
Everything.
Nice. Almost like it's like a light coating on my tongue.
Susan says, top of the mouth. Yeah.
Now that you pointed out, I noticed that now.
I want to take another sip.
I don't know how to decipher this. I really don't know what's in it.
Okay, well, we've only had one sip, and no one expects us to be able to fully describe this wine from one sip. We're not wine raiders. Let's take another sip. Michael, what are you getting?
A little bit of fruitiness, but it does finish clean, which is nice.
Yeah.
It's a little tart.
Very clean and smooth.
Like, it's only sometimes you take a sip of say wine or just alcohol, like you have like a slight burn and like you kind of taste it in the back of your throat. This is just like only on my tongue.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
One thing I know, like there's no after you swallow,
like
it's
hot alcohol.
Yeah,
who's got the bottle? What's the alcohol listed on there?
13.5.
Yep.
Oh, was that a guess? Yeah. Lauren, nice. Aunt Nikki's so proud. So according to the Somo app, when we scan this, tasting notes, aromas of elderflower, gooseberry, and white peach with subtle herbaceous undertones. The palate is off dry, and I guess the Czech word for that, I'm sorry, Czech listeners, don't at me with my pronunciation, polosuche, P-O-L-O-S-U-C-H-E. Polosuche, I'm making it French, right?
It might be more of a ch.
Yeah.
Polosuche. That is their word for off-dry, with a juicy, round mouthfeel balanced by a refreshing, zesty acidity that lingers on the finish. Totally agree with that.
Yeah.
That's what we were thinking. We just didn't have the words. Like
we
didn't
think, Somo. We just didn't have the words.
But that's exactly we agree with, Somo.
That's what I meant to say. Actually.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
And this is a family-owned winery based in the Mukolov sub-region of Moravia. They focus on producing clean, expressive, and varietally true wines that highlight the unique cool climate terroir of the region. Their philosophy combines traditional Moravian winemaking techniques with modern temperature-controlled fermentation. This is delicious. What do you think this would be a nice pairing with?
The seafood
we're about to say. With the oysters that we're going to have.
Yeah.
I feel like it's not all that different than the Viognier.
Yeah, it can almost pair like a Viognier.
And it has a little thicker viscosity, that thicker. It's not as light as normal, like California Sauvignon Blanc.
It is a little more viscous. In a blind tasting, I don't think I would guess Sauvignon Blanc.
As a young 22-year-old, what is viscous? I don't know what that means.
Yeah, viscous.
The thickness, like the thick, like okay. It's not like some, like some wines are very light, like yeah. In your mouth, and like
well,
it almost evaporates.
Give him the milk.
Oh, well, you know it, Dana. You do it.
Think of how skim milk feels in your mouth versus whole milk.
Okay.
Whole milk is heavier. That's
got it.
More full-bodied.
I've never heard that.
Yeah, so we'd say this is like a medium to full-bodied white wine.
Reduced fat 2%.
So this is more 2%.
I wanted to associate it to oil, but viscosity is usually with oil. Like the thicker the oil is, the higher the viscosity.
So we equate it to milk instead.
And elderflowers are white.
Elderflowers are white.
And white peaches are white.
I think we kind of nailed it. All our brains.
Susan, our elder flower, you nailed it completely with that note. This is a fun wine. It says price range 15 to 25.
Yeah, it
super fun. Interesting. Mm. It says great with goat cheese, spicy Asian noodle dishes, and fresh seafood.
Your Asian
I got one of those coming tonight.
Cheers, guys. Fun.
What's
first time.
Oh, the U.S. dollar is very strong there.
Well, what's their money called?
Oh, they're called crowns.
Crowns.
Oh, that's nice.
Crowns.
How many crowns was that bottle?
You have to go back and get us a case.
I mean, right? You don't have to twist my arm to go back to Prague. There. I will go gladly.
I'm going to click add to my journal in Samo. I'm going to give it a thumbs up, solid choice. I'm going to give it a would buy again, although I don't know that we can find this wine here. So, Aiden, if you're returning.
If Aiden gets stationed.
But that was really fun.
Grafenwehr, then we
Graf
can.
Graf would be nice.
Okay.
I would not mind.
Right.
We're going to switch gears and go to the German wine just because I want to do the two wines before we go wackadoodle with the liquor.
I was doing a little bit of research when I was actually bought that in the airport because I'm like, I didn't get a German one.
This is a Dornfelder, which is a German red wine. Tell me why you picked it.
The two big red wines I've seen from Germany is what I brought back last time was a Spätburgunder.
Which was, do you remember the grape that was? It was so unique. Sure. It was German Pinot Noir.
Okay.
Burgunder, Burgundy, Pinot Noir.
Okay. And now this is a Dornfelder.
Yeah.
They had a German selection, shocker, in the German airport. But I was looking at it online, like the Spätburgunder, that's like the high quality, like that's a little bit more expensive bottles. And typically, that's the premium wine, I'd say. Dornfelder is like the more affordable, but also very good option.
Yeah.
They have. But I don't know anything about this vineyard or anything like that.
Okay. Will you read the label for us?
Yeah, it's Anselmann, 1541, Dornfelder im Barrique, Trocken.
So we can decipher a few things from that. In Barrique, what's a Barrique? It's a barrel. And then Trocken has to do with the sweet to dry scale in Germany, right? We've talked about that.
Yeah, the other one also had Trocken on it.
That's right.
That. Yeah.
So is it sweet? Do we expect it to be sweet when we say Trocken?
I think no.
No, it's
based
like off dry.
It smells.
Yeah. So the color of this is darker than I was expecting. I've had Dornfelder a couple times, and I was thinking it was going to be more Pinot Noir opacity.
This is like,
yeah, it's like
this is like cab in a glass.
I would say almost even
black.
Yeah,
darker like than so cab. If
it does look very dark. Yeah. Okay.
And like coat when you move it around the glass, it like coats the glass.
Even. Yeah. What do we smell?
Wood.
Very
woody.
Dark fruit.
Almost like a blackberry, like a black cherry.
Yes.
Cherry and. It almost smells like a little smoky wood to me. That's what I get.
Yeah, I agree.
I get like almost like roses, like a pungent, like
really.
And I'm getting like flowers. Almost like eucalyptus
like
or
flower.
Like a dark red flower, like
or like a like a purple,
yeah,
like a dark something.
And the last one when you would smell it, like it was very light, and this one when I smell it, I almost taste it. It tastes heavy when I take a deep breath in.
Beautiful. Okay. Let's taste. Cheers, everybody. Dornfelder.
Cheers.
It's very aromatic.
Of course. Ooh, nice Lauren. Glass. Lauren made a face right away.
I don't think I like it. It's kind of bitter.
It is bitter. That caught me off guard.
Similar to the white that we just tried, like off dry. And
yeah.
Viscosity.
Yeah.
It's very Syrah to me, this one. Like.
It's a little funky.
Yeah.
It smells prettier than it tastes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It smells pretty. It's. Little
it's
harsh.
Almost like Syrah, Petite Syrah. More hearty grape.
I don't know. After tasting it, it smells harsher to me now.
Yeah. It's very interesting. It led me down one path, and then I tasted it, and it picked me up and spun me around and sent me in another direction. Reading in the Samo app about this wine, this is a dry German red wine made from the Dornfelder grape. It offers a fruit-forward profile with soft tannins and moderate acidity. If you enjoy a smooth, approachable fruit profile of Ragushi Pinot Noir, then you'll likely find this Dornfelder to be pleasant, easy-drinking alternative, though it's lighter and less complex than the Keenan Merlot. So again, the app is trying to equate these to things that it knows that I've tasted. Yeah, it's which is really cool. If you were in a store and just scanning this, if you've rated things that you've tasted before, it starts to learn your palate. It's gonna tell you it's like this or not like that. The tasting notes are aromas of dark cherry and blackberry. Good job, nice. People. Touch of elderberry. The palate is smooth and medium body with soft tannin and a clean, dry finish. No, there's definitely some tannin.
Yeah, I get a lot.
Yeah. 2023 vintage in Germany experienced a warm summer followed by a selective harvest. It is vineyards with slate-influenced soil and a cool climate, which helps maintain fresh acidity and bright fruit flavors in the grapes. Mom, why did you say,
Whatever you just read there.
Were you agreeing?
Slate and
yeah.
Say that again.
Vineyards with slate-influenced soils and a cool climate, which helps maintain fresh acidity and bright fruit flavors in the grapes. Delicious!
What is it pairing, like meats?
Yeah, sausage. It says sausage.
Need a brat.
It says grilled sausage, roasted pork, mild cheese, and pasta with tomato-based sauce. Mm. Probably because of the acidity, kind of like Sangiovese pairing.
This one's, it's like a punch almost. Like.
Yeah.
The last one, like, you kind of have to let it sit for a minute. This one's like, I take a sip and it's like...
Yeah. The recommended temperature for serving this is 57 to 61. So on the lower end of reds, I mean, we shoot for like 60, 65 for general reds.
It tastes better colder.
Yeah,
but it's we're drinking it on the cooler end. So that's fun. Thanks, Aiden. Ooh, super fun. Good. All right. And for the finale, what do we got going on next?
Bekarovka. Bekarovka. That's how I'm going to say.
Is your mom that you've been obsessed with Jaeger since you came back
from Germany? Oh, yeah. When I went to Germany, the Germans are like, have you ever had Jaeger before? And I was like, nope. And they're like, you're going to have a lot of it. And I was like, am I? And then they poured me a sizable glass and they're like, you're going to drink the whole thing. And I'm like, okay, well, okay. That's how we're going to start tonight.
If you said your German got better after drinking
Jaeger. I had it running through my veins at that point. But we had a ton.
Wow. Is this is the Czech version of Jaeger?
It smells like Jaeger.
It smells like Jaeger.
Okay. But Jaeger is German and this is Czech.
So it's an herbal
pronunciation.
Betrovka. All right.
Close.
Betrovka.
So this is very it smells like Jaeger, but Lauren made a good point. It almost looks like gasoline a little bit.
A little bit.
It does it has that light smell like it. Yeah, but it has that tint yellow that you
almost the color of tequila in the glass.
It does look like the wine, the same color.
Okay. So would you say, based on what you know and the reason you brought this back after we did the whole Jaeger from Germany and then Jaeger from the U.S. and we looked up the recipe and what was the difference, would you say that you picked this because this is the equivalent of Jaeger but from...
Yeah, it's like the Czech
the
Jaeger.
The Czech, okay.
That's exactly how I learned about it. I mean, you look at it and you do not think it at all. Like, it's a very... you think Jaeger, it's like a very, like, a syrupy... type of alcohol. This is almost like we, but it smells like just like, yeah, it's much more herbal. Licorice.
It's a Betcherbomb.
Betcherbomb. You can, we can do some Betcherbombs.
Like cheers, everyone.
Cheers.
Betcherovka, which sounds Russian, but.
Whoa.
Ooh, Susan, talk to me.
It does taste and smell like potpourri.
That is not at all like Jägermeister.
No. Oh, Lauren has a face.
Lauren does not like it.
And Nikki has a face. But
it's almost cinnamon.
Yeah. It's like schnapps. Christmas it's liquor. Like fireball.
Christmas potpourri.
It tastes like a licorice fireball shot. Almost.
Yes.
If you mix like the combination of Jaeger and fireball together.
But you
I'm
had
almost
this,
like more like Rumplemintz. It's not.
No.
No
way.
Peppermint. No, sorry.
Nothing like Rumplemintz.
There's another one that's like a dentine bomb too. What's the or is it just fireball?
Goldschlager.
Well, my tongue.
Is Goldschlager
High alcohol.
Goldschlager, then maybe I would think.
How much? What's the alcohol on it? Does it say
still
on the
burning.
Back? Maybe
37, 30.
I think it's higher.
38%.
Wow, girl.
Hey, I said it was higher.
Did you just guess 37 and it's 38. Wow.
So double plus your wine.
Amazing.
It might be different. Better if it was cold.
Yeah, I think it's got to be. It was sitting for a little bit. On the bottle.
We took it out of the freezer, but then we chatted for a little bit.
Yeah.
But this is the original one because they have a lemon and an orange and a grapefruit.
Yeah, they have an orange one, but I'm
this is the original.
I feel like nothing like Jaeger.
No. It smells like it.
Jinx. Does it look like Jaeger?
The only thing.
It tastes like cinnamon gum.
But it doesn't.
Yeah.
That's what's really throwing me off.
I would go more towards your potpourri smelling.
Well, no. Christmas now I go back. You can if you go
Christmas
back,
store.
You can smell it.
Like if we go to the Christmas store down in Bay Village.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or the Christmas store at Disney. Over ice, okay. You would like it? Yeah.
It's definitely thicker than I was expecting it to be.
It's weird because it does not smell.
But how interesting that we're sitting here in Long Beach Island, New Jersey, tasting this. We would never, ever bring this thing to our lips or hold this in our hands if it wasn't for you and your travel. How cool to be, it might not be our favorite thing. I might not want to have a glass of it, but this was made in a very specific place and it was brought home in your backpack and that's awesome.
Yeah. So Lauren just looked up what the taste is like.
Yeah.
It says, Betrovka is a bittersweet Czech herbal liqueur with a flavor profile frequently described as Christmas in a bottle.
Stop it! Oh, Dana, you win!
It delivers a warm, spicy, sweet taste dominated by clove and cinnamon.
Nice. Well,
that's what it was.
Rounded out by subtle hints of ginger, orange peel, and anise.
All the
followed by a lingering,
rooty,
herbal bitterness.
Good job, guys.
Orange, anise, cinnamon, clove.
Yeah. I'm on their website. The secret recipe has been passed down through generations and is based on a unique mix of herbs and spices, pure water from Karlovy Vary region, Karlovy Vary region, and high quality spirit and sugar. It's been made since 1807 and it's named after the Becher family. The traditional liquor in the legendary flat green bottles carries across generations values that are as valid today as they were 200 years ago.
Love it.
Becher bottom dollar.
Becher bottom. Drink.
How do I enjoy it?
Cold.
Betrovka tastes great on its own. Requires ice cold Betrovka in a frozen shot. It is also a fantastic base for mixed drinks. Oh. Michael, bartender, what would you mix with this?
I don't know, but I'll go find out.
Red Bull.
Red Bull.
That's what I'm saying. I'm trying to think of what's like a Christmassy drink?
Like
a cran.
Creamy. There's that whole thing.
Eggnog. You want to put it in eggnog?
Oh, maybe.
Oh,
but actually,
like Christmas.
Isn't there something like rum chata and Fireball together?
Yeah.
It's
it tastes like cinnamon toast crunch.
Could be like
cinnamon toast crunch.
Sorry. Something like that.
Child of the 80s.
At Christmas time.
Yeah, I feel like a spiked eggnog would be very good with this.
A lot of descriptions have been mentioned. It's long, tingling aftertaste.
Oh, my God.
Was numb.
Yeah, I'm still.
That would be the 38% alcohol by volume.
And I felt that in my gums.
A full-on shot.
Yeah, Sue.
There's still some.
I'm kidding.
Still some in the glass.
Dude, so fun. Once again, wowing us
so
with
fun.
What you chose to carry all the way home.
Where did you buy this?
This I bought in Prague. I bought this bottle in the same shop that I got the wine.
In Prague?
In Prague.
Of the three things you tasted today, the Czech Sauvignon Blanc, the Dornfelder Red from Germany, and the Christmas in a Glass, what was your favorite? And now that we have all three of these sitting in front of us, what will you pick up to finish? You see what's in my hand.
That's funny.
You see what I haven't taken out of my hand.
Oh, okay,
so,
Michael.
Christmas in a glass, you know, because I love Christmas.
Christmas in July for Michael.
All right. He's going with...
Maybe because it's 38% alcohol.
He's going with because he's...
And on vacation.
He's been with the family for
He's
a while.
In a beach house with nine of us for 3 days.
38, please. Can I mix it with more vodka?
How do we feel about that?
Aiden, which would you drink more of this evening?
I think the Sauvignon Blanc.
Yeah.
I mean, the Sauvignon Blanc is definitely going to go with oysters.
I mean, especially since we're having a seafood dinner, but I mean, I'm going to keep my red because it goes well with the spicy red pasta, which I'm having for dinner. So.
Lauren?
I like the Sauvignon.
Yeah.
I definitely think the red would be better with food, like pork.
Like last night when we had steak.
Yeah.
Dana?
I think Just based on the mood and the temperature of the room, the Sauvignon Blanc.
The temperature of the room in the house where the air conditioning is broken. The air conditioning is on a momentary pause.
It's fine.
The heat don't kick its ass.
Susan.
Sauvignon Blanc. But I also like the Christmas in a glass.
Yeah, she likes the Christmas in a glass.
I did.
You like those, though. You loved the Jaeger last time we did this.
I can't walk up the stairs.
We're going to have to carry you up.
Yeah. No, it's just got a lot of taste.
Cheers, everybody.
Prost.
Cheers, everyone.
Prost.
Prost. Prost. What do they say in Prague?
No idea.
All right. No idea. Cheers.
No idea.
Salut.
So there you have it. Very different opinions on some very unique and interesting beverages. And just a side note, we did have fresh oysters that evening, which that Sauvignon Blanc was beautiful with, and then some spicy seafood pasta, which the Dornfelder wound up being a great pairing with. There wasn't a lot of the liqueur being enjoyed that evening. I think we had had our fill of Christmas in the bottle. But really super interesting. And like I said in the episode, one of the things that has always drawn me to wine and different beverages, is they really are the taste of a place, and how cool that these places on the other side of the world were brought to us by my nephew. I want to thank my family for once again being open to being recorded. They're getting very used to it now, and I hope that you enjoyed listening to this as much as I enjoyed being there. I will put the link in the show notes for everything that we tasted. And if you haven't downloaded the Sommo app yet, S-O-M-M-O, you heard how it really guided us through this tasting. Definitely download it and use the promo code Nikki, N-I-K-K-I, for your first free month of premium access. And if you think, man, that sounds like fun, I would love to actually sip with Nikki, be in the room with her. I have created a place for us to do that inside the tasting room, my virtual membership with actual wines. The doors are open now and we are welcoming new members, and I'll be getting ready to ship out the first tasting boxes at the end of July. Visit sipwithnikki.com/membership to learn more about it. And I'd love to see you inside the tasting room so we can laugh and learn and taste crazy things together, just like you heard in this episode. sipwithnikki.com/membership. And whatever you do between now and our next time together, I hope that you sip well.